Artemis?
Aye.
Time to put thy words to the test.
Which?
That a true Christian can never be overcome unless he surrenders his will.
'Tis a true saying.
Then come make of it a true doing.
I am here.
Ah, puny old man, barely coming to my waist. Take that.
Samuel, Joseph, man the steers.
Yes, sir.
Stand back, young ones. My quarrel is with this chicken heart.
His name is Greatheart.
Ha! Ha ha ha! Chicken or great, no difference I've seen whilst me ate. Ha!
Now this battle went on for above an hour, and then all stood still to take wind.
Why are you here on my ground?
I told thee before, to revenge the blood of pilgrims.
We'll take a greater one than thee and these.
So they went at it again, and the giant, seeing that his case was desperate, came forth with new strength. Now for a time he made Mr. Greatheart give back.
Look out, Samuel!
But it was ground dearly purchased, for they came down to a flat place where Mr. Honest and the boys could carry the giant from all sides.
Get like hounds ye are!
Aye, and the fox is up a tree. Back!
Go ahead!
Sir?
I am to take the kingdom of heaven by violence. If thou catchest my meaning,
with that did Gaius lift up the hand of faith even higher. And in answer, the lord of the highway sent quickness of wit to the pilgrims. Thereupon did Greatheart begin to see a weakness in the giant's defense and begin to test it.
Stop this one, Slaygood.
With ease, chicken heart.
And this one.
Ha!
And again!
Ah!
And here!
Dost thou turn this into a game?
Aye! And now from the left! Ha! Samuel!
Sir!
Dost thou see the pattern?
Aye. The Lord hath opened my eyes and mine.
I see no pattern. But I am eager to return a nasty blow to this rogue. Patter, smatter! I shall press the altar, pilgrim burger, and ride thee for supper.
Gaius!
Doing battle, sir!
Stupid old Greatheart! He's doing nothing but lifting his hands into the sky!
There is thy mistake, defeated foe! Ha! For he doth more than all of us!
Ha!
Ha! Ready?
Ready!
Ready!
Get him at
me! Ready! Ready for what?
From the left! Ha!
Ready! Ha! Ready! For what?
Here ready comes the opening. One.
What opening?
Oh,
how?
Two.
All right. All right.
Three. Ha! Now!
Then did the warrior let fly at the giant's head and sides with such speed and fury as to part his weapon from his hand.
No!
Then did Greatheart smite him.
Ah!
And slay him.
No!
And take off his head, as he had promised.
Well done, lads. And you especially, Gaius.
Oh, help me!
Joseph, I hear moanings up in the den. You boys go up, release the prisoners.
Yes, sir.
If there be any pilgrims among them, bring them to the inn. I shall meet you there.
Yes, sir.
Ah, great victory hath been won this day.
Aye. Slaygood is a stubborn one.
Well fought.
Thank you. But I assure you that it was your prayers that made the difference.
Perhaps. But I cannot help but believe that the boys we left behind were fighting with us as well.
Aye.
When they were come home, they showed his head to the family, and then set it up on a pillar as they had done others before, for a terror to those that should attempt to do as he. Then they brought in Mr. Feeblemind to Gaius, who said to him,
Come, sir, be of good cheer. You are welcome to me and to my house. Call for what you will, and it shall be given thee.
This is an unexpected favor. 'Tis like the sun shining out of a blackish cloud. Did Giant Slaygood intend me this blessing when he stopped me and said I should go no farther? Did he intend that after stealing my coins, he should open the door to such a place as this? Nay, I doubt it. But God hath made all things to work together for good. Amen.
Then they had Mr. Feeblemind into the house of Gaius and gave him the upper room with the finest view. That night, around supper, they asked him of himself, thus.
Mr. Feeblemind, whence art thou?
From the town of Uncertainty.
And why didst thou start out on pilgrimage?
Well, as you can see, I'm a sickly man. And because death did usually once or twice a day knock at my door, I grew afraid. I knew that one day I would not be able to keep him out. Therefore have I come on pilgrimage, for I hope, by God's grace, to come to a better land. A land where I shall have a glorified body that shall never know pain.
But did you not hear tell that the pilgrim's way is sometimes hard and filled with dangers?
Aye, but I thought to myself, Feeble, better to die in the pilgrim's way, even if you have to crawl every step, than to die in uncertainty. And so I set out.
And did the Slough of Despond detain thee?
Nay, for I saw one Mr. Fearing carried across, and I followed hot in the footsteps of him that bore him. Yea, he took my hand and helped me up to the wicket gate.
And how did they greet thee there?
Oh, graciously, very graciously. The lord of that place seemed not to notice my weakness of body or mind, but entertained me freely. When I had gained some little strength there, he gave me my certificate and told me if I was faithful unto death, I would surely reach the city.
Did you enjoy the house of the interpreter?
Oh, yes. He was most gracious.
And did you understand his parables and lessons?
Parables? I know not.
But he was kind to you.
Oh, very kind. Good food and pleasant conversation, albeit I could not understand very much of it.
What about the hill difficulty?
Well, the interpreter looked upon my weakness with great mercy and bade one of his servants carry me to the top.
Indeed?
Yay.
I have heard it said that the ground is level at the foot of the cross.
I'm sorry, sir, but I do not catch your meaning.
I mean that no matter what our state of mind or body or character, God will see to it that we shall find him. For the strong, there are trials and challenges to put every nerve to the stretch. For the weak, there is help enough to guarantee victory. All who will may enter in.
And so is my resolve. I have determined that when the road is easy, I shall run. When I cannot run, I shall walk. When I cannot walk, I shall creep.
Well done.
'Tis a gift from my Lord, and I thank him. By his grace, my course is fixed. My heart is beyond the river that hath no bridge, though I am but of a feeble mind.
How have other pilgrims done by thee, dear Mr. Feeble?
They have been most kind. They have shared food and drink and kind words. Yea, although none of them was slow to my pace, yet did they do their best to speed me up to theirs, and so were of much help to me.
Tell us about the giant.
Well, when I came to a salt lane, he leaped out at me and bade me make ready for a battle. A battle, thought I. Dear me. I am more in need of a tonic than ready for a battle. When he saw me looking confused and fearful, he lowered his club and captured me.
And did you, at that time, prepare thyself to die?
Nay.
And why not?
Because I knew that I should live.
And how could you know that?
Why, because I was carried off against my will.
So?
Well, I have heard that if a pilgrim keeps his heart in God's hands and is then taken captive against his will, he will not be allowed to die by the hand of the enemy. Am I not correct, Mr. Gaius?
The scripture does say that if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
And does not falling into the hands of a giant come under the same rules as falling into the hands of sin, if we fell not willingly?
Aye.
Therefore it was that I knew myself to be free.
Even when he was warming the pot to cook thee in?
I, although I did break down and ask for mercy, which one must never expect from a demon, I did expect to be robbed, and robbed I am. But as you see, I escaped with my life. And I thank God for commanding it thus. And I thank you as his instruments. God bless thee all.
Tell us more about your friendship with this Mr. Theory.
We were well acquainted even before we met at the slough. He is my uncle, actually.
Indeed.
Yes, my father's brother. We were both of nearly the same mind. Or lack thereof, as the case may be.
Yes. You both have a pale countenance, and you both seem to look down more than up, and your speech is nearly of the same accent.
'Tis true, no doubt. Others have said the same. Besides, what I have seen in him, I have for the most part found in myself. We are both sorry specimens of humanity, but I warrant you this. When we come to the celestial city, we shall both of us sing the king's praises as loud as the rest of you.
Thou art as I am, a witness to the fact that there is none too far gone for Christ to take home to himself.
Amen.
Now, just as they were ending this talk, there came one running in who said,
Excuse me, everybody, please. About a mile and a half off, there's a pilgrim named Mr. Notright. He's been struck dead by a thunderbolt.
What? Struck by lightning in these parts? How odd.
Alas, is he indeed slain? Oh, me.
Do you know the man?
Aye. He overtook me several days ago and decided to keep company with me. Yea, he was with me when Slaygood took me. But he was nimble of his heels and escaped. But how odd it is.
What is, Mr. Feeble?
That he escaped to die, and I was captured to live. Mysterious to me are the ways of this way. Mysterious indeed.
Now there came at last the time when all of the pilgrims began to feel an itching in their feet to be on their way. So Mr. Gaius made them a great feast, where they all did eat, drink, and make merry. Aye, their songs and praises did give the lie to the rumor that the pilgrim's way is full of sorrow and heaviness. Now, when the hour was come that they must be gone, Mr. Greatheart called for the bill.
Well, dear Gaius, time to settle accounts. How much do we owe thee?
Owe me? Oh, Greatheart, thou knowest that at this house we accept no pay.
Still?
Aye.
But how canst thou sustain such great expenses as you have put out on our behalf?
The good Samaritan hath bidden me to care for thee. He said he hath given me coin enough to pay for thee. Moreover, he hath promised to repay anything that I have overspent.
Bless him, and bless you. You have strengthened us mightily, and put us forward on our way, much refreshed. Thou shalt in no wise lose thy reward. Fare thee well.
And the same to thee. Farewell.
Goodbye, dear Gaius.
Christiana, a true mother in Israel, may you soon look thy husband in the face.
Goodbye, dear Gaius.
And to thee, dear Mercy, I give thanks that during thy stay here, thou hast not ceased to provide food and blankets for the poor among us. Blessed art thou among women.
Thank you.
I expect to hear reports of many children.
As many as God shall send.
Phoebe, my daughter, how I shall miss thee.
And I thee, Father.
Stay close to thy new mother, and learn of she and Mercy how to serve.
Yes, Father. Goodbye.
Take care of her for me, James. She is a rare jewel.
That I could see from the first moment. And care for her I shall, for she is everything to me.
Matthew, Samuel, Joseph, Mr. Honest, Mr. Greatheart, and especially to you, Mr. Feeble Mind. Godspeed, Godspeed, farewell.
Now, as they were going out of the door, Mr. Feeble Mind made as if he intended to linger behind, the which, when Mr. Greatheart espied, he said,
Come, Mr. Feeble Mind, fall not behind so soon. I will be your conductor, and you shall come to the gate, none behind the rest.
Nay.
What? Why so downcast?
Because I lack a suitable companion.
What's wrong with us?
You're all lusty and strong, but I am weak. Let me come along at my own pace, lest my many infirmities be a burden to myself and to you as well.
Nay, I will not hear of such a thing.
Oh, please, sir. As I said, I am a man of a weak and feeble mind.
No matter. I shall do thy thinking for thee in the difficult matters.
No, you do not understand yet. I am likely to take offense and be made weak at things which others may consider a trifle. I shall like no laughing. I shall like no colorful clothing. I shall like no unprofitable question. Do you see? I am so weak a man as to be offended with that which others have a perfect liberty to do. I am a very ignorant Christian man, and do not yet know all the truth. Why, sometimes, if I hear one rejoice in the Lord, it troubles me because I cannot. I'm like a weak man among the strong, or as a sick man among the healthy. I am like a lamb, crippled and despised.
But, brother, I have a commission to comfort the feeble-minded and to support the weak. You must needs go along with us.
I am so slow.
We will wait for you. We will lend you our help. We will deny ourselves of our opinions and habits for thy sake. Neither will we enter into doubtful arguments before thee. We will be made all things to you, rather than you shall be left behind.
Now, as they were thus in the heat of their discourse, Mr. Ready to Halt came by with his crutches. And he also was going on pilgrimage.
Why, Mr. Ready to Halt, how camest thou hither?
One foot ahead of the other, same as you.
Ah, glad I am to see thee. I was just complaining that I had not a suitable companion, but thou art an answer to my wish.
Good. Perhaps we can be of mutual benefit. I heard you speaking of lingering behind, but I will not have it thus. Here.
What?
Take it.
Thy crutch? Do you not need both of them?
'Tis better, yes, but I had rather enter the kingdom with one than have thee fall behind.
Nay, I thank thee for thy good will, but I do not want to limp before I am lame.
Thou art sure?
Aye, but I may borrow it against a dog or two along the way.
As you wish it. But if there's anything that I or my crutches can do for thee, we are both at thy command.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Mr. Greatheart, with all of this help, what can I do but follow on behind? Shall we off?
Thus, therefore, they went on. Mr. Greatheart and Mr. Honest went before. Christiana and her six children went next. And Mr. Feeblemind came behind with Mr. Ready to Halt and his crutches. Now for a few miles, everyone was lost in thoughts of gratitude. Indeed, each left the house of Gaius happier and richer than when they entered it. Finally, Mr. Honest said,
A great heart.
Yes, Mr. Honest.
Do I hear music?
Aye, that you do.
Are we approaching Vanity Fair?
Aye, we shall get there shortly after evening sets in.
Oh, I fear this place.
Why so?
I hear tell that at night one is easily beguiled by the bright lights and music. I hear furthermore that the drunkards and addicts are hid in the back alleys, so that all appeareth to be harmless fun.
Ah, and thou dost fear that thou shalt be tempted with its vanities?
Nay, not for myself. But I have two unwed sons, and I fear for what their eyes shall see and their ears shall hear in this place.
Fear thee not, mother. We shall look straight on before us,
and stop our ears with cotton, if need be.
Ah, good boys you are. But just the same, you are young, and
if it give thee any comfort, madam, I know a righteous man in the outskirts of the city named Manasin. He hails from the land of Cyprus, and doth provide lodging for weary pilgrims.
Indeed?
Yea. Shall we stop in?
Yes, I shall be very grateful for his hospitality.
What about the rest of you? Are you content to turn in there?
And they, with one accord, agreed to turn in at the house of Manasin.
Well then, I shall knock for us.
Why is there a delay? I fear we may be as Lot and attract an unruly crowd.
I think because this is such a dangerous town. Friend Manason.
Is that you, O Great Heart?
Aye. Hast thou lodging for a band of pilgrims?
But of course. Do come in, one and all.
Thank you.
My, you look weary. How far have you come today?
From the house of Gaius.
My, no wonder. Come into my parlor, one and all. Here, sit you down. My, three lovely women with you this time. What a rare treat. Here, madam, sit you here.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Manason, the house looks even better than when last I was here.
Well, thank you. We try to improve it a little as we have time between batches of pilgrims, albeit they seem to be coming more often and to be getting larger. Do you think we should add on another bedroom or two?
I would advise it, sir. The time is coming when all who hear his voice will be going on pilgrimage, for the end of all things is near at hand.
Then I shall do it. And when I have finished entertaining the last band of pilgrims, I shall lock my door and walk on behind. But until then, we're here for the pleasure and the comfort of one and all. Now, what can I do for you?
Well, you have already given us our chief desire.
Oh?
Yes. For some hours, we have been dreading the idea of sleeping in the streets of Vanity.
Sleep in the streets? At night? Oh, my, no. No. 'Tis scarcely safe to walk them in the day. That is why my lord hath employed me to open this house.
Well, right glad we are that Great Heart knew of you.
And so am I. So am I. Now, what else can I do for you?
These are all weary, friend Manason. Can we show them to their rooms that they might freshen up and relax before refreshments?
Aye. Indeed I shall. Come. One and all. Come. Come.
So he had them up to their respective places and also showed them a very fair dining room where they might sup together that evening. Now when they came back down and were set in their places, they were all greatly refreshed and cheery.
Mr. Mace.
Good sir?
Are there many good people in this town?
Well, if Abraham were to pray for the town's salvation on the same conditions as set forth for Sodom, I am not sure our town would fare any better.
But, such as are good here, is there any way to meet them?
Oh, of a certain. But why?
Why? Why? Because the sight of good men to us who are on pilgrimage is like the appearing of the moon and stars to them that are sailing upon the seas.
Grace? Oh, Grace, my child.
Father?
Grace, my dear, go and tell Mr. Contrite, Mr. Holyman, Mr. Lovesaint, Mr. Dare Not Lie, and Mr. Penitent that I have a friend or two at my house who have a mind to see them.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and call thy sister Martha. I see two young men here who look to be in need of some good company. With your permission, gentlemen.
Oh, by all means. Right, Samuel?
I'm sorry. I was drifting in my thoughts. What is the question?
He asked if we would be interested in having Grace here bring her sister Martha to join us for dinner.
A young lady? To join us for dinner?
Yes. Are you interested, or shall I ask them both to sit with me?
Oh, by all means, of course. Hurry.
What he's trying to say is yes, we would love to have your company for a few hours.
Yes, sir.
Or for a lifetime, eh, Sam?
Shh. You haven't even seen the other one yet.
Who cares? If she be half the woman that Grace is, she is better than either of us deserve.
True.
Besides, thou knowest that the daughters of these heavenly innkeepers are the best in the world.
Well, yes. True so far.
Besides, there may be more giants ahead.
So?
So, if our mother agrees that these be godly maidens, we may be married men in a short time.
So? What's that got to do with giants?
Married men may not do battle for a year after their wedding.
Ah, fine by me. Although I do not mind an exciting exchange with the enemy, when we know that our victory is sure.
So by and by Grace brought them all in, and after salutations, they sat down together at the table.
My neighbors, I have, as you see, a company of pilgrims for my guests tonight. They have come from various faraway places and are on their way to Mount Zion. But who do you think this dear matron is, Mr. Contrite? Can you guess?
No. No, I fear that I cannot.
'Tis Christiana.
Indeed. Well, what a pleasant surprise. And are these Christian sons?
Aye, my lord.
May the king whom you love and serve make you as your father and bring you where he is in peace.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Contrite.
Sir.
How is the town of Vanity Fair nowadays? Is it so violent as in the days of Christian and Faithful?
Nay, not quite. I think that the blood of Faithful hath made them quiet for a time. I remember that in those times we feared to walk in the streets, and the very name of Pilgrim was a stink in their nostrils. But for now we have a time of peace. Although...
Do go on.
I was just going to say that I fear our peace is short-lived. The morality of the place is sinking ever lower, and those churchmen who think of themselves as good people are talking of making a change.
A change? By what means?
By passing such laws as will force other people to be good. But I fear such attempts will only result in evil.
Why do you say so?
Well, it occurs to me that if a religion be of God, it will have power to change lives without the help of the state.
True.
It further seems to me that if a religion be not of God, the passing of a million religious laws will bring to it no power at all.
Also true.
What it will do is bring into the church those who fear the stocks and the whip.
Oh, yeah. Law-abiding hypocrites.
Aye. And the bringing of such as they into the church will bring the standard of Christianity even lower.
And you say this is in the wind?
Aye. Times are hard in Vanity Fair right now.
Hard, you say?
Aye. What with the drought and the many earthquakes and the increasing violence in the streets? Yes. The climate is ripe for false religions to blame all our troubles upon those who do not abide by their idea of righteousness.
But did not Jesus say that his kingdom is not of this world?
Aye. But with this they do not agree, and so ignore it. I tell you, friend Honest, I fear religious tyrants far more than I would fear Nero himself. But come, let us speak upon more cheering topics. Do tell, how has your journey gone for you?
And so they visited among themselves until the wee hours. Now they stayed at the house of Mnason a good long time. And in process of time he gave his daughter Grace unto Samuel, and his daughter Martha unto Joseph. Now, as soon as Mercy discovered that in Vanity Fair there was no lack of suffering, she set up her ministry of feeding and clothing the poor and needy. Her husband became administrator of her society, and because of their kindly deeds, the name of Pilgrim became highly esteemed in those parts. Grace, Phoebe, and Martha also betook themselves to relieving ignorance and suffering in those parts, and great good was done by them during their stay there. Also, they all begat little ones there that resembled their paternal grandfather in a remarkable fashion. Their husbands also took young boys under their care and taught them how to work with their hands, that they might not be dependent on the fitful charities of the ruling class. Now at last the time came on that the pilgrims must go on their way. Therefore did their friends and those many of the town who had been blessed by them attend them as far as they could, and then bade them a tearful farewell. Now, as they traveled on, they came to a monument.
Oh, Greatheart, what be this monument?
'Tis a stone left here by Hopeful in memory of Faithful.
Ah, a brave man he.
Aye, 'tis because of him that we have gone through this town with so little suffering.
Should we not pause and give silent thanks for what he has done for us?
Aye, let's.
And so they paused to remember, and then passed on their way.
Now, as they gained the hill overlooking Vanity Fair, one of them espied something amiss below.
Look!
What?
What is it?
Why, 'tis the giant and the monster we saw in the Valley of the Shadow of Death.
Aye, 'tis the same. And I fear that one day, soon, the whole world will wonder after that beast. Oh, a sad day for pilgrims that will be.
Over yonder, there are bald-headed men working on the walls of the castle.
And a stout one it is, too.
What are those others doing?
Building tools of war and instruments of torture.
Ah, fearful preparations. Say, come look from over here.
I know what you will see.
Why, Greatheart, look. From behind, it is a mighty castle. But from here, it appears to be a house of worship.
Aye. I knew it would be so, but let us be on our way.
My, 'tis a fearful preparation for war they are making.
Aye, and it is prophesied in the last book that they shall rule for a season, but at the end the beast shall turn and tear the rider to pieces. Then shall he be smitten by the rock, cut out without hands.
Should we not run down and give them battle?
Nay, that work we must leave for those who will come after.
Nay. But who is so able to engage them as we?
Of a truth I tell you, Matthew, that in the last days there shall arise an entire army, all of them greater than Greatheart at his best. They shall smite the beast on his feet, and at last, having vindicated the name of God, they shall ascend to the celestial city. But as for us, we have done what we could. Forward.
I saw then that they went on and passed by many memorable places that I have told thee of in my first work. But at last they came at the river that was on this side of the Delectable Mountains. On both sides of this river are trees whose leaves are good for eating and that renew strength. Here the meadows are green all year long, and pilgrims with their little ones can lie down in safety. So for many a day did they stay in these meadows and let the Master Shepherd guide their little ones into straight paths. Now at last there came a time when all were eager for travel, and so they departed these parts. They went on for several days until by and by they came to Bypath Meadow.
Halt!
For why?
For why? Open thine eyes, dear leader. The road we travel is full of potholes and sharp rocks.
'Tis only for a season.
Easy to say for you, who walk upon two good legs. But look here, a stile that leadeth into a smoother way.
Have you not heard of Christian and Hopeful who went before?
No. Why?
Then the saying is true, Greatheart.
Which?
The one that saith that those who do not learn of the mistakes of history are doomed to repeat them.
Aye.
Which mistakes?
This meadow that thou art so eager to travel in will lead to thy destruction. Here, see this pillar?
Aye.
Read this warning left by Christiana's husband for our benefit.
Over this stile is the way to Doubting Castle, which is kept by Giant Despair, who despiseth the king of the celestial country and seeks to destroy his holy pilgrims. Strange, I did not notice it. But is this writing true? I certainly see nothing but a pleasant green way that will ease our journey.
Thou must look beyond that. Look out over yonder gloomy forest. What seest thou?
Nothing.
Look again.
Well, oh, I see what you're getting at. 'Tis a castle.
Whose castle?
I cannot tell.
Why, 'tis the castle of doubt spoken of on yonder pillar. It belongs to Giant Despair.
So?
What? Have you not heard of him?
Oh, aye, indeed I have. But he is there, and we are here. And as far as the eye can see, this meadow runneth right along our path, not to yonder castle.
But it is not the narrow way. It is broad and easy.
True, but is the king so particular that when two paths seem to run parallel, we must always choose his way?
Aye, for anything but strict obedience will gradually turn thee into the forest of confusion. From there you are sure to come into the land of doubt, where thou art fair game for Giant Despair.
My, then right glad I am to have you as my guide.
As am I, for certainly it all looks the same to me.
Mr. Honest?
Sir?
What say you that we cross this stile and go attack yonder castle?
Thy word is my command.
Anyone else?
To what purpose?
To kill the giant and his vile wife, demolish his castle of lies, and release any pilgrims that have gone over this stile.
But is it lawful for the godly to travel upon unholy ground?
Not for their own pleasure, but to seek and save the lost, I trow it is permitted.
Hear, hear!
And since I have been commissioned to resist sin, to overcome evil, and to fight the good fight of faith, I ask, with whom shall I fight this good fight, if not with the likes of giant despair? Who will go with me?
I will go.
I will.
And I.
So will I.
Then let us be gone.
Must you all be off to war?
Have no fear, Mother. We go to avenge our father's tortures.
Moreover, we shall make the way easier for our children to come after us by stopping the tunnels that lead out to yonder universities.
Therefore, we shall come off more than conquerors.
Bravely spoken, and now bravely done. Mr. Feeble Mind, Mr. Ready to Halt, attend hut.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
'Tis your calling to stay by the baggage and to defend these women and children.
Me? Us?
Aye, thou. This is the way, and if thou keep these babes strictly in it, there shall no harm come to any of thee. Forward, men.
So Mr. Greatheart, Old Honest, and the four young men crossed the bypath meadow, hacked their way through the forest of confusion, and at last came up to the gate of Doubting Castle.
My, what gloom is here.
Aye, indeed.
Such thick and blackish clouds as I never saw.
Moss and slime everywhere. Doth it always rain here?
Aye, more often than not.
Here be the door. Shall we knock?
Aye, and that with such a knocking as shall serve notice that we come in the name of the Lord.
So they knocked, and that with such strength as had never been heard in these halls. Now, since it was day, the giant and his wife, Diffidence, lay sleeping. For, if you remember from my last account, Despair cannot live long in the light.
Despair, dearest.
What?
Did you hear knocking?
Knocking?
Yes. I could have sworn that someone was trying to open your great outer gate.
Bah! That gate has never been opened.
Once.
Only when those two tricksters used that magic key to molest me lock and then blind me eyes. But that was... Well?
I told you.
Me club. Gets me club.
Here, my beloved.
Now, follow me.
Me? Why?
This knocking hath a ring of confidence to it. I may need thy help.
Yes, dear.
Despair! Are you home?
Despair be always home. And who art thou?
My name be Greatheart.
Greatheart? Greatheart? Ever hear of Greatheart, my dear?
Not in these parts, but the very sound of his name makes my skin crawl.
Bah! 'Tis only the bad weather we had yesterday. All that sunshine.
Despair!
What do you want?
I want you!
Did you not read the sign over my gate that saith, Day Sleeper, do not disturb?
Aye, but since I have come on express purpose to disturb thee, I thought this the best time.
A rude one, this fellow.
I should say, and I still say, there's something evil about his voice. I'm going to get my magic potions.
Bah, magic schmagic. The only magic needed here is me trusty club.
Is that so? Well, where was your trusty club when you tried to catch Christian and Hopeful?
Don't speak those names here.
Sorry. But I'm off to get my potions and curses just the same.
All right. Get thy potions. Diffidence.
What?
Bring out thy hexagrams and pentagrams. Also me ceremonial dagger and thy crystal ball.
Yes, dear.
And forget not thy broom and the black candles. And bring Lucifer, thy black cat.
Yes, dear.
Despair!
What?
I am Greatheart. I am sent by the king of the Celestial City, and in his name I demand that thou open thy gates and let me in.
To what purpose?
To take away thy head and to destroy Doubting Castle.
Bah! I have used doubt to overcome angels far greater than thou art ever like to be. I am a giant and thou but a man.
Thou hast also to face Mr. Honest.
Honest? I hate that name.
Moreover, I have with me the four sons of Christian who did escape thy chains by using the key of promise. His son Matthew, as firstborn and priest in his father's absence, doth carry the same key. And he will use it to part the clouds of doubt and blind thine eyes. Therefore, deceive not thyself with the thought that we are a helpless band of feeble pilgrims. Now open thy gate!
I'll open it when I feel like it.
And so shall I. Men, bring the battering ram.
All right, all right, all right. Leave part of me doors open.
I'm back, dear.
Good, good, good. Here, help me in with my armor.
Armor? Why will you use your armor?
I'm fighting for my life on this one.
Then 'tis good. I have brought my magic.
So he harnessed himself. On his head he wore a helmet of steel with darkened glass to shut out the light. He had also a breastplate of fire and iron shoes with spikes.
Finished there.
Good, good. Give me my club. There. Now, stand thee back as if only observing the battle. But if any of them give thee the back, thou must stick him with thy sacrificial dagger.
Maybe thou canst take one of the young ones alive for sacrifice.
We shall give it a try. Opens the me door. Aha! Well, this is what a great heart looketh like, eh? Shall see how a great heart liketh a great cloak.
Forward, men. Look for the pattern.
Then these six men made up to him and beset him behind and before. So, when Diffidence, the giantess, came up to help him...
Look out, Samuel! Great Heart!
Old Mr. Honest cut her down at one blow.
Great Heart, watch out!
Despair, despair. I am undone.
Thou hast smitten my sweetheart. God, do so to me and more, if I do not mingle thy blood with hers.
As thou hast said. Ha! So shall it be. Come, boys, we have learned to deal with such as these.
Then did they work together as one man, whilst one rested and prayed to God, another advanced for combat. So they fought, and great and long was the encounter. For I must tell you that despair is a hard beast to destroy.
Matthew, the key! Yes, sir.
Then did Matthew hold up the promise towards heaven and pray that the God of his father might break through the clouds of doubt.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, take away all the eyes. Take away the light.
Nay, for 'tis light that encircles the throne of God, and 'tis light that shall destroy the wicked at his coming, and 'tis light that shall destroy thee now. Ha!
Then was Giant Despair brought down to the ground, but he was very loath to die. He struggled hard and had as many lives as a cat.
Greatheart, he will not die.
More light, Matthew. Shine the light directly into his eyes.
Yes, sir.
No more light, please.
Thus did the entrance of light work out the destruction of despair. Then Greatheart used the sword of the spirit to take his head from his shoulders, as he had promised.
Well fought, Greatheart.
I say we were hard put to it with this one.
Aye, 'tis good that Matthew is the keeper of his father's key.
Indeed. Without that, it had been a worse or even a losing battle. Matthew, Samuel, off to the dungeon with thee. Release any and all prisoners.
But the doors are locked. How shall we get in?
We have Father's key, Samuel.
Oh, of course. It will open any lock in Doubting Castle, won't it?
Aye. Come.
The rest of you, get the crowbars and ropes. There must not remain one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down.
Greatheart, look at these idols in the witch's apartment.
Look not upon them, lest thou be defiled thereby.
What then?
Obey the scriptures. Smash them.
Greatheart, the giant also hath a library. Books, all of them full of...
Burn them!
Yes, sir.
Also, any pictures on the wall, destroy all of them!
Yes, sir. What are these books of science? They speak of billions of years to create one little worm.
To the flames! It is science falsely so called.
Then they fell hard to destroying the abominable things, and the images, and the instruments of demon worship. They also set out to demolish Doubting Castle, which was not so hard to do with Despair dead. Now in the halls of the dungeon, Matthew and Samuel searched out prisoners.
Hello? Is anyone yet alive?
My, what a dreary place.
I say. Is anyone here?
Help!
Where are they?
Help us!
Cannot tell. Echoes every which way.
Help! Help us!
Can you see us?
Only your candle.
Then answer once to send us right, and twice to send us left.
Yes. Yes.
Turn left. Have you been here long?
Yes.
Now right. How long?
Many years. Many years.
Left. Can you still see us?
No.
Now what?
Back to where they last saw the light. Can you see us now?
Yes, yes.
Left.
No, we went left last time.
How can this be?
Mirrors.
Mirrors? Father never had to fight with mirrors.
The longer doubt is left alone, the more tricky it becomes. Throw a stone. Straight ahead. Ugh. Now left. Right. Ugh. Can you still see us?
Yes, come straight on now.
The echoes have stopped as well.
Yes. Here we are.
Oh, God bless you.
Yes, we have almost given up on praying.
Open the lock.
I thought I never again would hear that door open.
At least not until our execution. Oh, what's that?
My brothers and friends are tearing down this prison.
But Despair...
Despair is dead.
As is the witch with her false science that led men to believe that there is no God.
Say, they be working with a vengeance. We best be getting out lest this become our tomb.
Aye. This way.
Look at all these cells.
all of them filled with dead men's bones.
I have heard that few men come out of doubt with their lives, but I never realized.
And see how many of them wear the professor's cap and gown.
I think they came through the tunnel that leadeth to yonder university.
It must be so, for there are also many students here.
Help! Help us!
Another survivor. To the lock, Matthew.
Yes.
Oh, bless you, bless you.
Bless God, not us.
God? There's no such thing as God.
What?
God is a figment of man's imagination. And religion is a tool to control men's minds.
Well, say what you will, friend. Here, the door is open. You may escape with us or find your own way.
This dungeon is a maze. How do you know the way?
We pray at each corner.
Pray? You can't be serious.
And we smash every mirror.
Wait! This maze has taken years to construct. It's a valuable work of art.
It is built for the destruction of souls.
There are no souls. This life is all I have.
Well, then follow us, for all thou hast shall be lost. A stone, straight ahead, Samuel.
Stop!
Now right.
You are desecrating fine art.
We are saving our lives. Our brothers did not know of the maze, and they think we are already out.
This way. I see light.
Come, friends.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
And you?
You disrespectful barbarian! Away with you!
Do you know the way out?
I need not thy help, if that's what you mean.
I have the only light.
Light is an illusion.
And darkness?
What is real? What is not? Who really knows?
I do. Follow me and see.
Matthew!
Coming. Come on, friend. We can debate truth up top.
What is truth?
Later.
Hurry! Very well. Let me get my degree. Where's my degree?
Matthew!
I could have sworn that I left it right here under the chamber pot.
Are you coming? There is no time.
Time? Time is an illusion. But my degree, now, where on earth did I put it?
I'm going. Come if you will.
I'll be right there. Perhaps it's in the pocket of my gown. Here, degree. Where's my degree? I can't find this silly thing.
Here's the passageway. Hurry!
Come in!
Now they were 7 days in pulling down Doubting Castle and all the false science that held it up. Despair's body they buried under a pile of stones to show their abhorrence of him. Mr. Despondency and one much afraid, his daughter, being nearly starved to death, could only look on and cheer. Now when the castle was finally level with the ground, they took their two new friends and hacked their way back to the straightway. Now, when Feeble Mind and Ready to Halt saw that it was the head of Giant Despair indeed, they were at first very amazed and then began to dance a jig for joy. Now Christiana, if need be, could play a merry tune upon the viol, so Mr. Ready to Halt called for music and took Much Afraid by the hand.
Much Afraid, come, let us celebrate this wonderful victory.
Oh,
Christiana? Music for our dance, if you please.
Oh, I'm not so sure I can dance.
Aye, thou canst. Come.
Oh.
And so they fell to dancing in the road. True, he could not dance without having one crutch in his hand. But I promise you, he footed it well. Also, the girl was to be commended, for she answered the music handsomely.
Very good.
Oh, I can dance.
I knew you could do it.
Thank you, sir.
Now, I saw in my dream, when all these things were finished, Mr. Greatheart took the head of Giant Despair and set it upon a pole by the highway side, right over against the pillar that Christian erected for a caution to pilgrims. Then he wrote under it, upon a marble stone, these verses. This is the head of him whose name only in former times did pilgrims terrify. His castle's down, and diffidence his wife, brave Mr. Honest, has bereft of life. Who hereof doubts, if he'll but cast his eye up hither, may his scruples satisfy. This head also, when doubting cripples dance, doth show from fears they have deliverance. Then they went forward and went on till they came to the Delectable Mountains, where Christian and Hopeful had refreshed themselves with the various delicacies of the place. They also met the shepherds there who welcomed them unto the Delectable Mountains. Now the shepherds, whose names were Watchful, Experience, Knowledge, and Sincere, said unto them,
Welcome. Come stay with us for a season. We are well able to care for the feeble as well as for the strong. Come in, dear feeble mind.
Ah, bless thee, bless thee.
Our prince has an eye for what is done to the least of these, his brethren. Therefore the weak are as welcome as the strong. Come, Mr. Ready to Halt, enter into our humble palace.
Thank you.
And Mr. Despondency, Miss Much Afraid, come, hang not back, for thou art precious in his eyes.
Thank you.
Bless you, sirs.
And the rest of you, enter in, enter in.
I see that thou art true shepherds indeed, in that thou art not only accepting of the weak, but hast made them more than welcome by strewing their path with flowers.
So the feeble and weak went in, and Mr. Greatheart and the rest did follow. When they were also sat down, the shepherd said to those of the weaker sort,
Pray, tell us, Mr. Feeble Mind, what would you have to eat?
Why comest thou to me? I am the weakest of the weak.
Our Lord hath given us charge to take care for all the members of his family. He maketh no difference between great or small, black or white, male or female. All are precious in his sight. And what will bless thee will bless them. Therefore, what wilt thou have?
So they made them a feast of things easy of digestion, and that were pleasant to the taste and nourishing. Therefore were all refreshed before they went to their rooms for the night. When morning was come, because the mountains were high and the day clear, the shepherds took them out into the fields and showed them first what they had showed to Christian before. Then they had them to some new places. The first was to Mount Marvel. Here they saw a man who was mighty in faith. Yea, he would speak to a great stone, and it would be rolled from its place. At other times he would say to a mountain, Be thou removed, and it would be carried into the midst of the sea.
Dear shepherds, who is this? We have never seen such great faith. No, not even in Israel.
'Tis the son of Mr. Great Grace. He is here to show thee how to use thy faith, to tumble hardships and difficulties out of thy way by the use of the promises.
As we use the key of promise against giant despair.
Yea, and greater things than these shalt thou do, because Christ has gone to his Father.
I know this Great Grace, Junior. He, like his Father, is a man among men.
Then they had them to another place called Mount Innocent. There they saw a man clothed all in white, and two men, Prejudice and Ill Will, continually casting dirt and mud upon him.
Take that, filthy one.
Aye, and perhaps a bit more slime will color thy garments as they should be.
You missed him.
Did not. 'Twas a direct hit.
Then where's the stain?
I know not.
Because thou didst miss.
Then do me one better, smart one.
With pleasure. Here is some oily black mire that doth seep out of the ground. I shall cover this stick with it, and then wipe it upon him from head to toe. Take that, white one.
Ha ha, nothing. Thou art impotent against him.
As art thou.
Aye, but at least I admit it. We cannot blacken his robe with all the mire and muck in the whole world. Yea, I trow that if we were to dunk him in the Slough of Despond, he would pop to the top as white as snow. Come, off with us.
Nay, I will blacken him if it takes me all my life.
Thou canst not, unless thou separate him from his god.
That is impossible, for he will not cease to behold him.
Then thou dost besmear him in vain.
Bah! Take that!
Give up!
Nay, I will bestain his robe yet.
What means this? This man is called Godly Man, and this robe is the purity of his life in Christ. Prejudice and ill will hate his well-doing, and seek to make his garments as coarse and vile as their own. But as thou canst see, the dirt and muck will not stick to him.
And is it so with us?
Aye. No word that men can speak against thee can soil thy soul. Yea, by and by God will cause your innocence to break forth as the light, and your righteousness as the noonday.
May it be soon.
Amen.
Then they took them and had them to Mount Charity, where they showed them a man that had a bundle of cloth lying before him, out of which he cut coats and garments for the poor that stood about him.
Christiana, look!
Aye, I see it.
Dear shepherds, is the thing true?
What thing?
That the man continues to cut from his roll of cloth, and yet it never grows any smaller?
Aye, 'tis to show that he that watereth shall be watered himself, and also to remind thee of the widow, whose flour and oil did not fail, even though she gave her last morsel to the prophet Elijah.
Indeed, a good lesson. It remindeth me of the words of our Lord.
Which, Mercy?
That which saith, Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Also that which saith, With the measure that you give, so shall it be given unto you.
Aye.
They had them also to a place where they saw two men named Fool and Wantwit washing an Ethiopian in the river.
More soap.
Here.
Good. Now the brush.
Here.
Don't you have a stiffer one?
We have already rubbed him raw, and he's just as black as ever.
Gotta wash him more, that's all. Give me a stiffer brush.
A stiffer one will skin him alive.
If that be what it takes, then that be what it takes. Give me a stiffer brush.
All right, all right. But I tell thee that we're just making him look all the worse.
Whose the sight art thou on?
Why, thine, of course.
Give me more soap, and be quick about it.
What means this?
This is a symbol of those who seek to change men's hearts by their own efforts. The harder they try, the worse their victims look.
Like the Pharisees did.
Aye, and all hypocrites that follow after.
And do they spend all their efforts upon this poor man?
Nay, sometimes they spend their days trying to paint out the spots of a leopard. But whenever the poor beast getteth wet, all their labor is lost.
Oh, my!
Now there came a day when Christiana came unto Mercy, who was then heavy with child, and perceived that there was a great sadness come upon her.
Mercy, pray tell, why is thy face long and cast down? Because there is a longing in my heart, which I can neither put away nor satisfy. Therefore am I so low in fear that it shall cause me to miscarry.
Mercy, there is no good thing that the Lord of the Hill will withhold from them that serve him. What is thy desire?
My heart's desire is to possess the looking glass that hangs up in the dining room.
I will mention this to the shepherds, and they will not deny thy desire. But why art thou afraid to ask?
I am ashamed to have these good men know that I longed for it.
Nay, my daughter, it is no shame, but rather a virtue to long for such a thing as that.
Oh, do you think so?
Aye.
Then, mother, if you please, ask the shepherds if they might be willing to sell it, for I am caught in a hard place and cannot escape.
I shall ask for thee. I am sure the shepherds will not deny thee.
Now the glass that Mercy was so taken with was one of a thousand. Looking into it straight on, it will perfectly reflect your features. Yea, it will even reveal the hidden thoughts of the heart,
Looking into it from another angle would show you the very face and similitude of the Prince of Pilgrims himself. Yea, I have talked with them that have used said looking glass, and they say that they have seen the very crown of thorns upon his head, and the wounds in his hands, his feet, and his side, whence now shineth forth his glory. 'Tis further said that by looking from various and sundry angles, one can see him in his life or his death, in his humiliation or his exaltation, in heaven or on earth, coming to suffer or coming to reign. All who gaze into this glass for any length of time become possessed with a burning desire to be like him, for they see him as he is. Now this is the glass for which mercy did long.
Dear sirs?
Yes, Christiana?
My daughter Mercy doth long for something she hath seen in this house, and so strong is her desire that she fears she shall miscarry if she should be denied.
Mercy, what is that thing thou wouldst have? Be not shy, for it is our delight to give to pilgrims.
Not only our delight, but our Lord hath given us a charge to give as it has been given.
Sirs, what I have my longings for is the wonderful looking glass that hangs in the dining room.
The looking glass? She wants the looking glass.
The looking glass? Can you imagine?
Oh, forgive me, my lords. I knew that it was precious to you, and therefore was I hesitant to ask. You shall hear no more of it. I'm sorry.
Nay, do not go. We are amazed, not at your audacity, but at your wisdom.
What?
Yea, of all treasures, this is the greatest that can be desired. Thou hast chosen wisely, and thou shalt have the desire of thine heart. Brother Sincere?
Yes, I'll fetch it.
Oh, thank you! By this I know that I have obtained favor in your eyes.
And so was the wonderful glass given to Mercy, and other gifts to her sisters. Then were they given a map to guide them through the enchanted land and sent on their way rejoicing. Now they had not gone far when...
Greatheart, look! A man with his sword drawn and his face all bloody.
To arms, men. We know not if this be a friend or foe. Hey! Hey thyself, friend or foe?
I am Greatheart, a conductor of pilgrims. And thou...
I am one whose name is Valiant for Truth.
Valiant for Truth? I have heard good things of thee. Art thou not a pilgrim?
I am.
Well, come, good fellow. We have here medicines and ointments most wonderful. Also, this good woman can apply them in a manner most skillful and gentle. Here, sit thee down, whilst thou tell us what befell thee here.
Aye, glad I am to rest.
Have we need to post a guard?
Nay. They shall not show their faces against anything near to even odds. Ah.
Here, dear Valiant, let me remove thy helmet.
Ah. Thank you, madam. I am much obliged to you.
And now, thy coat.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. My, thou hast taken a nasty slice or two.
Ouch!
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I assure you that I gave out more than I took in.
What happened? Tell us thy tale, man.
Well, I was in the way here when these three scoundrels did beset me.
I'm sorry.
As I recall, the leader was one named Wildhead. 'Twas he who spoke first.
Ho, old man.
Greetings, in the name of the Lord of the Hill.
Did you hear, gents? Lord of the Hill. What do you think, inconsiderate? Is that jolly or no?
Aye, and I trow that he knows not who we are, or he would have hid his colors better than that. Wouldn't you say, pragmatic?
Aye, very unpractical he was, very.
Who art thou? Why dost thou mock me so?
We ask the questions around here, old one.
Then ask.
I have three questions to put thee. First, wilt thou become one of us?
And the second?
Wilt thou return whence you came?
And the third?
Refusing to answer yes to one or two, wilt thou die where thou dost stand?
It comes to my mind that thou art runagates and thieves.
'Tis a practical profession in these parts, what with all so many pilgrims coming and going.
Cut the chatter. Wilt thou join us?
I have been an honest and true man for a long season, and therefore I could never consider becoming one like unto thee.
Not a very practical choice, my friend. Not a very practical choice at all.
Pragmatic!
What?
Thou talkest too much.
Inconsiderate be thy name, and so be thy manners. I have as much a right to talk as thou. Yea, from a practical point of view.
Silence! Now, Mr. Valiant for Truth.
How dost thou know my name? I have not told thee.
We have spies to tell us who cometh and who goeth, and whether easy of conquest or hard.
Then surely thou must have known that I would not join thee.
Aye, but being fair and just in our dealings, we at least put the question. Now, having refused to join us, wilt thou turn around and go back?
To whence I came?
And what else can going back mean, old fool?
Gentlemen, the place whence I came is totally unsuitable for one who would live eternally. I counted the cost when I departed thence, and I have not regretted my choice.
Then thou wilt not turn back?
I will keep to my present course as tightly as the needle to the pole.
Then thou art ready to surrender thy life upon the spot, art thou?
Not at any low price. Moreover, thou hast no authority to ask me such vile questions, and it is at risk to thy life that thou dost continue to meddle with me.
To arms, men.
Three against one, eh? That makes it nearly an equal battle, then. En garde! Ha! And so we fell to it, for the space of above 3 hours. I was holding my own for a time, but they were young, and I like not to think what another hour might have done. 'Tis good that they heard you coming.
Three against one. These are great odds.
Odd is true, but few or many are nothing to him that hath truth on his side. David saith, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this I will be confident.
Ah, brave words these, and brave thou art.
No more than some of the great ones of Scripture. How many was it that Samson did slay with the jawbone of an ass?
1,000. But tell me, dear Valiant, why did you not cry out that someone might have come to your help?
So I did, to my king, who I knew could hear me and send invisible help. This he did, and that was enough for me.
Thou hast well done. I wish I could have had thy help against a couple of giants along the way.
I would have been happy to help thee. I was tempted to engage them myself, but had none to stand by me in prayer. So I prayed God to send someone better than I, which I see he did.
Valiant, may I see thy sword? If I am not mistaken, this is made of Jerusalem steel.
Aye, so it is. Give a brave man a blade such as this, and train him in its skillful use, and he may engage angels with it.
Indeed. I wish I had had it for Giant Despair. I had liked to have dulled my edge trying to kill that one.
Not so with a Jerusalem blade. It grows more sharp with every battle.
Indeed?
Aye. 'Tis quick and powerful, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Ah, a fine, sharp, two-edged sword it is. Here.
Thank you.
But tell me, having fought for 3 hours, wast thou not weary?
I fought until it seemed as if a sword did grow out of my arm. And when I felt my own blood run through my fingers, why, 'twas then that I fought with the most courage.
Thou hast done well. Thou hast resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Thou shalt abide by us, for we are flesh of thy flesh and bone of thy bones.
Then when they had finished washing his wounds, they gave him of their provisions to refresh him. And so they went on together. Now as they went on, Mr. Greatheart found that Valiant for Truth was a man of kindred spirit with himself. Therefore, because they were in company with some that were feeble and weak, he asked him many questions for their edification and encouragement.
Tell us, Valiant, from whence comest thou?
Oh, I am of Darkland, and there my father and mother are still.
Darkland, you say? Is not that place a short piece off from the City of Destruction?
Aye, close enough to be destroyed by the same fires that will soon be loosed upon that city.
And how were you caused to come on pilgrimage?
Well, there came a man into our parts named Mr. Telltrue was his name. He was a traveling minstrel and a seller of fine silks and pearls, as I recall. And whenever he found that one was seeking true riches, he would sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. And if their heart was stirred, he would tell them about the pearl of great price and invite them to buy it without money and without price.
And did you buy?
Oh, yes. For he told us about one named Christian and how he did forsake home and country, wife and children, because of the love he bore for the King of the Hill. Ah, it did make our hearts burn within us to hear such love as that. Oh, but I must confess... Oh, I... excuse me. I must confess that it made me weep to hear tell of his loved ones left behind. Oh, I've prayed for them that they might repent and join him on his pilgrimage. But I suppose that I shall not know if my prayers have been answered until I come to the kingdom myself. Alas, poor woman.
Wouldst thou know of the answer to thy prayers before that?
How can I?
By meeting one of my fine companions. Christiana!
Yes, Greatheart?
Christiana?
Tell this man how that the Lord hath heard his prayers.
Christiana? Christiana, was not Christian's wife named the same?
Aye.
But surely thou art not. Art thou?
Aye, he is my husband.
Oh, blessed day, oh dear woman, God hath laid thee upon my heart since the day I heard tell of thee. Oh, blessed are my eyes to have seen this day. And thy young sons?
Not so young anymore. They have wives and children of their own.
Yes, but are they pilgrims? Are they pilgrims?
Look for thyself.
Oh.
This is Matthew, my eldest.
Pleased to meet you, sir.
And here are Samuel, Joseph, and James, his brothers. With them are their dear wives, Mercy, Phoebe, Grace, and Martha.
And these little ones?
They are Christian's grandchildren. And Mercy here is nigh on to bearing another any day now. I trow that thou shalt dandle him upon thy knees ere long.
Oh, Christiana. Oh, Christiana, it's too much for an old heart like mine. Oh, happy day.
Tell us some of the things thou didst hear about my husband.
Oh, many things. Why, how he had killed a giant serpent and many other adventures that beset him on the journey. Oh, also, how he was welcomed into the celestial city by a cloud of shining ones with sound of trumpets. Why, the telling of these and many other things, they did put my heart into such a burn to be gone after him. Nor could father or mother stay me. And here, by God's grace, I am.
You came in at the gate, I assume.
Oh, yes. For the same man told us that if we did not come in by the way, that we would be accounted as thieves and robbers, and would gain nothing but guilt and greater damnation for our troubles.
Aye, there is only one way to enter into eternal life, through Jesus Christ, my Lord.